greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number is going to be kept top secret tonight. Top secret phone number. Because last week there was an event here locally in Denver. Some pretty wild-eyed young pro-lifers went to a local high school, Columbine High School, with signs and attempting to educate the high school students about abortion, what it really is. And so in studio, we have three Columbine High School seniors who want to talk about they have some criticism for what went on. And so we've invited them into the studio. Could you guys introduce yourself? Andre first.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Andre DeVoe, and as was stated earlier, I'm a senior.
All right. That's sorry for stealing your thunder there, Andre.
My name is Andy. I'm also a senior at Columbine.
All right.
And I'm Greg Schreier, also a senior at Columbine.
All right. So Andre, Andy, and Greg. And could you guys first explain what was the event? I know the guys came out on a Tuesday or Monday. It was so cold, they came back that Friday. So tell me, what was the event first? Because I wasn't there.
Well, basically, there were some pro-life protesters standing on several of the street corners surrounding school. They had posters, flyers they were handing out, knocking on people's car windows, trying to give you whatever.
Hand them flyers.
Right, hand out flyers, just whatever they could to get their message across. They had very large signs, some of which were pretty graphic. Mm-hmm. So
basically the event itself was people pamphleting and showing signs, walking on the public sidewalk, something like that.
Right. They definitely meant business just from the general atmosphere.
So they didn't just think this up last minute. They were well prepared.
Right.
And a typical free speech protest where a group or a minority wants to get their message out in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then why don't we talk about you guys have some disagreement. So, Andy, do you want to start? Or Andre?
It's like I am pro-life myself, so I don't disagree with the issue at all. It's just the fact that I don't exactly think that a high school was the best choice. Just to put it very bluntly, high school students don't care about anything for the majority, and they don't, and they're more concerned with living their life, and they're not so choiceful in the things that they do.
Right.
And I think that the target of that they wanted to educate kids might have been a little off. I think if colleges would definitely be a lot easier place because I think college hits the issue a lot more and they actually care about it.
All right. Now, Andre, you right off the bat, you said as far as the issue is concerned, you're pro-life also. Now, that strikes me as very interesting because when I heard our associate producer set up tonight's show, you know, three guys from Columbine want to disagree with the event, I thought you'd be pro-choice. I'm thrilled to hear you're pro-life. So we'll be talking sort of about strategy and tactics then. And Andy, how about you? Are you pro-choice, pro-life?
For myself, I'm 100% pro-life. Once again, just as Andre had just stated, I am very being pro-life, I definitely agree with the meaning behind what these protesters were going for.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't agree with their methods. The sign wasn't a sign that said abortion is killing, abortion is murder. This was a graphic, I'd say 5-foot by 7-foot sign, taller than the person who was holding it, about showing a picture close up of an actual aborted
of a baby who had been slaughtered.
That's right.
And so it's a devastating picture.
It was incredibly graphic. And there was no way to avoid it. It wasn't just something to turn your eye. I mean,
it was in everybody's face as soon as
it
came out.
There was no way to turn safely without seeing the sign.
How many students are in Columbine?
There are about 2,000 students at Columbine currently.
Okay.
And I would say about half of those were exposed to this.
Okay. All right. And Greg, first on the issue itself, where do you stand?
I myself, too, I'm pro-life. I couldn't in my own personal situation, I could never justify abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't. But I also just believe in respecting other people's opinions. And I do believe these people have the right to make their opinions known. However, right. I should have the ability to choose whether or not I want to hear it. It shouldn't be forced upon me in the form of that graphic 5 foot by 7 foot poster. And that's where I have to argue against them strategically once again.
Okay.
Just the methods.
All right. So we're going to be talking about tactics and style, but then you brought up right now the issue of rights. And sometimes when we're in a debate and we're talking and we're going at it, sometimes we say things that we don't fully intend to say. I want to check you on that. Or are you trying to say that they don't have a free speech right to show something that someone else doesn't want to see?
No, I guess what I'm saying is I think they have the right to make that public. But for instance, flyers I think are acceptable because I have the choice to take a flyer, or
right.
It's not being forced upon me necessarily. But
right.
a 5 foot by 7 foot poster, I really can't choose not to see when it's being just kind of.
All right. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. That one narrow part with free speech. And thankfully, our country is strong on free speech.
Absolutely.
Our country has a lot of problems. But we do say that you have the right to free speech, and that doesn't come from the Constitution. It comes from God. Being a human being, you should have the right to communicate. And free speech, if you don't have the right to communicate things that other people find offensive, then free speech is pretty meaningless. If I have to first get the permission of everyone around before I could make a statement or show a sign on a picket line on public property, I'm going to be shut down, because no matter what it is, if I have an unpopular position, there are people who are going to say, I don't want to hear that. That offends me. And so then if I'm fighting for animal rights or fighting against the terrorist or against the war, I can't show my sign because it offends people?
Well, I think what I'm saying is the information's public. An individual can go on the internet. There's a lot of different means to go find out about just exactly what the consequences are about abortion.
Yeah.
And
same thing about the war, right?
If
somebody wants to protest for the war or against the war, you could get information on the internet.
Absolutely.
That's not a good reason to say someone doesn't have the right to carry a sign that says for or against a war.
Well, I think the means, I mean, I guess verbalizing what the effects are just directly on a person, saying these are the direct consequences of abortion, mm-hmm. is one thing, and to show a disgusting image is completely different.
Right. So you're saying because it's offensive.
I think because it's – I guess there's no real logic behind it, I don't think.
Okay, well, now you're going to their motive and they're strategizing. And we started out talking about, do they have the right to do it? And do people in public have the right to say things that you might disapprove of? We'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here at Bob and Yart Live. Hey, our phone number. Now, the phone number for calling in, we've got a studio full of Columbine High School seniors here, so we don't need calls today. We're going to talk to these guys. But if you'd like to call in and check out some of our materials, for example, we've got a video where I read an article. Now, how could you read an article in a video? I read a 3-page article from the New York Times on a 1-hour video. And I can't even count how many of these we've sold in the last 5 years. 3 pages, the New York Times argued that it should be legal to kill a baby after he's born up to the first month. That was the article. And we titled the video "Infanticide Exposed" on the pages of the New York Times. And C. Everett Koop, the former Surgeon General, predicted this. He said that if we legalize abortion, eventually infanticide will become commonplace in America. And sure enough, today, how many women kill their babies after they're born? It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic. So if you would like to see that video, you can give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. It's $19.95 plus shipping and handling, but a money-back guarantee. Money-back guarantee on everything we have, always. because if it's not worthwhile, if it's not credible, if it's not persuasive, then you don't need it. Send it back or throw it out and call us up and ask for your money back. So our number, or you could go online at kgov.com and order on the store, 1-800-836-9278. And now this spot is only for those of you tuning in via the internet at kgov.com. Hey, those of you out there on the web, you guys, for all these years, you've been our longtime supporters, and I've wanted to get through this list of materials we have in a single commercial break, and in all the time I've tried, I've failed. I can never get through all these videos and a description in one break. So the next break, coming up at the bottom of the hour, that break is just for you and I. Our radio affiliates, they're off doing the news. But those of us on the internet, I'm going to try to get through every video we have and a description of every video we have in that one commercial break. And if you're curious, you could go to our web store. It's an excellent store. You got to check it out. KGov.com, KGOV.com. Oh, you know where it is, right? Unless somebody gave you the show on a CD-ROM. All right, and as we go through this, guys, we've got Andre, Andy, and Greg here, Columbine High School seniors, talking about a pro-life protest a week ago. You know, you can feel free to jump in, whoever I'm addressing. But, Greg, I'm hoping you would back down just a little bit from that position, because the foundation of the right to free speech is that you have the right to say things that other people find offensive. Andy, what do you think?
Oh, Greg, maybe you can correct me if you think I'm misinterpreting. I do believe that no one sitting in this room would disagree that these individuals had the right to protest. I believe that it is not, even for their purposes, the most strategic place to do
great.
So.
Well, then if we can go there, because otherwise anyone who doesn't like anything being said in public could say that offends me, and then it shuts down. What you don't have the right to say in public is you don't have the right to conspire or be an accomplice toward a crime. Like, let's go and kill so-and-so. That would be conspiracy. So there, your right to free speech, it doesn't exist. That's a crime. But okay, so now let's talk about the strategy and the style, the tactical aspect of what we're doing. Why is it that you guys think – see, I'm proud of these guys, because in this country, how many babies are killed every day? Do we have some round number?
I
not sure. It's approaching 1.5 million a year, so it's about 4,000 babies killed every day. In fact, they've been talking about partial birth abortion in Congress just this week, and in the Senate – they're working on trying to pass a law to stop it, and that's when a baby's 5 months old, six, seven, eight, up to the ninth month in the womb, the abortionist takes the baby out feet first, and his whole body's out of the mother except for his head, and they take a scissors and shove the scissors in the back of the baby's neck into his brain, kill the baby, and then take him out the rest of the way. If they took him out the rest of the way 1 minute earlier, it would be murder. And now they call it choice. And that happens 2,200 times every year, that brutal act. And it seems to me that these guys are out there, Christian pro-lifers, saying, look at what people are doing in our country. They're killing babies. Why would you criticize them? Wouldn't it be better to criticize the people who are killing the babies?
I'm not necessarily saying that we're criticizing them and what they do. It's just when you go to a high school, you're not really getting your point across. Because I came across several students who I talked about to it. Because when I knew a couple people who were protesting, and I talked to them to a couple students about it, and they said that even if they were pro-life, they would go and debate the issue and just make totally irrational conversations
arguments.
With them, and that's not
just
doing any good.
Just to play with these people, just to toy with them. It's
exactly.
Ridiculous.
Well, and it's not doing anybody any good.
Okay. Well, you guys said you're pro-life. I'm a Christian. Any of you guys Christian?
Yeah.
You're Christian, Andy? Anybody else?
I was raised Christian, yes.
You were raised Christian?
I'm open to all things, but I generally consider myself a Christian, yes.
Okay. And Andre, you don't have to say one way or the other.
Oh, yeah, I am Christian.
You are Christian. Okay. Jesus Christ, he went to speak at Nazareth, and it was a disaster, and the crowd was in an uproar. And in the Bible, it says, and they tried to throw him off the cliff. If you go to Nazareth today, it's on a very high city in northern Israel, in the Galilee, on a very high hill, and there's quite a cliff there. You could throw somebody off and kill them. Jesus and the prophets in the Bible, they try to talk to people about what they're doing wrong. They're being immoral. They're killing people. It's wrong. They're stealing. And it causes an uproar. People don't want to hear it. They yell. They scream. They gnash their teeth, the Bible says. Sometimes they become violent and beat up the prophet or the apostle who's talking to them. Does that mean that the messenger is doing something wrong just because the audience is hostile? To me, that's not a definitive objection.
I think where maybe some of the hostility comes in is that I think some people just didn't feel like their opinions were being respected, that they're being preached to like they are these heathen – I mean these terrible savages.
Right.
I mean, I do think – I don't agree with people who are pro-choice, but I don't think that necessarily means that they should be – in a subhuman sense.
Greg, you were saying just the very fact that they had these huge signs showing these aborted babies was enough to say that this shouldn't be going on. So if I'm showing a picture like that to people who don't want to see it, to me, that's all the more reason to show it. Like if when we had black slavery in this country, or when the Nazis were killing the Jews and all the horrendous human suffering that went with those tragedies, do you think the average person wanted to see it?
No. I don't think anybody wanted to see.
They didn't want to hear it. They didn't
see other people suffering. Other people die.
Right. And when the suffering is being imposed by the will of the government, then that's when the citizens of the government, whether they want to see it or not, they're going to see it if the people who are concerned have any say in the matter. Because when some people were trying to save blacks out of slavery, and there was a senator's wife back in the 1860s, and she said the greatest evil in the world is slavery except for abolition. Now, how's that one? The greatest evil in the world was slavery except for abolition, because that's even worse, and I don't want to hear about slavery. And so abortion is bad, but I don't want to see it. I don't want my friends to see it. They can read a nice article on the internet. I find that's just too stifling, because we're not talking about property values in the neighborhood. We're talking about babies who are being killed.
Well, what I think on this issue more so, I do believe it is an effective tactic. I do believe that people – thinking about committing this act should know exactly what's going on. Come down to is the fact that there are people at this high school that are barely 13 years old.
Right.
And in that issue, they didn't really understand even the fundamental concept of abortion, let alone consider.
Well, in Colorado,
like that.
Is it legal for a 13-year-old to go and have an abortion?
I doubt it.
Yeah, totally legal. Oof. In fact, Columbine, if they're like most high schools, they'll let a girl go to Planned Parenthood and have the abortion during school hours so that her parents won't even know. And Planned Parenthood will not tell the parents. And in fact, there's a pro-life group that is called, approaching 2,000 abortion clinics all over the country. And they had a woman, they recorded these calls professionally. And a woman who was... she was pretending to be 13, 14 years old, and she had said she was impregnated by a 22 to 24-year-old boyfriend. And every abortion clinic in the country practically told her, don't tell anyone how old he is, because that's rape. That's statutory rape. And if a health worker finds out that an adult is raping a 13-year-old girl, they're required by law to report it. But what the abortion clinics all over the country have done, and now there are lawsuits about this, is they help cover it up. They helped the rapist by telling the girl, don't tell us how old he is. Just come in and get the abortion. And so those 13-year-old girls at Columbine, not only is it legal for them to have an abortion, but thousands of 13-year-olds all over this country have had abortions. Not millions, but thousands. So it's legal. They're having sex. And they're getting pregnant at younger ages than they were 10 years ago.
Okay. My only problem with that argument is a lot of the freshmen at high schools that I know are the 13-year-olds. When they see something like that and pro-lifers are outside the school and, you know, they're trying to get people to understand what's going on, they are so – I guess I should put this as naive in their ways, that they get more angry at the fact that they're doing that.
Right.
And they
right.
can't look at it in a rational way.
I agree with you, but sometimes when there's apathy across the country that 4,000 babies are being slaughtered every day and nobody really cares, sometimes you've got to shock people. You've got to anger people. You know, who cared about black slavery? Only some wacko Christians who started the Underground Railroad and began rescuing blacks, and they go to jail for 10 or 20 years. Who cared that they were slaughtering Jews in Germany? None of the Germans did, hardly.
I guess what I feel the need to address is just the need for logic. I mean, looking at abolition even, the people who were the John Brown who was raiding southern cities and murdering slaveholders, he wasn't getting the job done either by being a radical. Yeah, I don't think you can be radical on either side.
Well, wait. But let's not mix.
I think,
right. Let's not mix murdering people with exercising free speech and showing signs.
But what I'm, trying to say
is
that
I would agree
with you. Your best.
If they were doing what Harrison Klebold did, who Harrison Klebold were pro-choice, right? Well, then that would be criminal, and I'd be first in line to want them executed for their crime.
But I guess they don't – I'm sorry.
If I could say something about that real quick.
Yeah.
There was one thing that I actually did take quite offense to. When I was pulling out of the school parking lot, I did see one sign that said Dylan and Harris – and Harris were – which were the two murderers of Columbine. They were – the poster said Dylan
– I think I remember. Harris and Klebold killed kids too.
Exactly.
Right.
Now – yes, they did kill kids too.
Yeah,
but I really don't think you should have been taking that to the high school that they were at, and killed everyone.
All right. Well, let me ask you if you knew this happened after Colin that murder spree occurred. I became friends. I met a man, Brian Robaugh, whose son Danny was killed at Columbine. In fact, I was in jail. I watched Columbine News from in jail, and I was in jail because I had spanked my stepson 5 swats on the backside. I was in jail for 2 months. So some media talk show hosts, they call me in jail. We did interviews, and they'd say, you know, they put good parents in jail, and our kids become criminals. Our whole society is backwards. But at any rate, Brian Robaugh came because of the 15 crosses that went up. Remember that? The 15 crosses?
Yeah.
There were 13 murdered and 2 murderers. And I pastor Denver Bible Church. I do the show. And Brian and Lisa Robaugh came and said, Bob, let's talk about judging and forgiveness. These two murderers, they didn't repent. It seems that they should not be forgiven. And we talked about the Bible, and they're right. If you don't repent, you don't get forgiven. And so anyway, when we come back, Hillary Clinton came to Columbine and Lisa Robaugh spoke to her. I want to tell you what they said. All right, we're back. Here we go now. I want to get through the whole list of videos we have. Money back guarantee. Call us 800-8-NYART. Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. God and the death penalty. New Testament support for capital punishment. A Bible tour of Israel. See all the evidence in Israel today to support the Bible story. and then get out of the matrix. That video, I got to debate a college philosophy class, the whole class, and their teacher for about an hour and a half. It was a blast. Live from Las Vegas. That's where I got to debate liberals on the convention center floor. Morality, why God forbids sexual immorality. Mount St. Helens, the volcano that blew in 1980. What does it tell us about how the Grand Canyon formed? It's amazing, the canyons and the river system that was formed from Mount St. Helens, and it didn't take millions of years. It took hours and days. Divorce and remarriage. Oh, yeah, that's all about what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage. And it'll be shocking to a lot of people. There's so many verses folks have never heard of, but they're in there. And then Sex Has a Price Tag by Pam Stenzel about premarital sex. What a great video. Could somebody get some of those videos? And I don't know if any of you guys will take a gift for coming here, but I'd like to give you one of those videos. Let's see. Then Bob debates predestination. That was in Lansing, Michigan. A TV talk show host moderated a two-hour debate between an author, a pastor, and me about predestination. Oh, that was fun. We could talk about that after the show if you guys want to. Okay, video fruitcake. Now, these are videotapes, and this was callers who called in. We call it video fruitcake because people sometimes give fruitcakes for Christmas. And instead of a fruitcake, just give people this video. There's plenty of fruitcake on it. Bob on drugs. That's a one-hour debate with a heroin addict who called into the show. Bob debates an evolutionist. That was Dr. Eugenie Scott, right about when she was on National Public Television debating evolution. Bob debates an ACLU leader. That was fun. With the leader of the Colorado ACLU, Jim Joy. We subtitled that Christians 3, Liberals 0. Then we've got Confronting an Atheist, showing that God exists. And there's a skit right in the middle of that video. It's really funny. Then Amy's call, Terry's call, Megan's call. Oh, I ran out of time again. Phooey. All right, we're back. Bob and Yart Live with, we've got three Columbine High School seniors, Andre, Andy, and Greg. And real quick, guys, about mentioning Harrison Klebold with this abortion protest, is it appropriate? Well, Bill and Hillary Clinton came to Columbine a week or two after the murders. And from my cell, we were doing interviews during that time on the topic. And I made a prediction that Columbine, instead of being viewed as a tragic failure for what happened, would become the number one school in the country. And Hillary came like that week and said, "We are all Columbine." And I thought that was a tragedy to say that because that was a great failure. Well, Brian and Lisa Rohrbaugh met with them along with the other parents. And Lisa said, and Brian asked Bill Clinton, he said, "You know what partial birth abortion is? How they kill these babies?" He said, "That is brutal violence, murder, far worse than what happened to my son." And they were standing 4 feet apart. And Bill Clinton and Brian asked him, "Is that right?" And he said, Bill Clinton just looked over him and Lisa and Rich and Sue Patrone, just like, and they were talking. They were there to talk. And he just looked over their heads like they didn't exist. And so Lisa said to Hillary, she said, "I'm a nurse. There is never a medical reason. If you have to take the baby out of the mother, you take the baby out. You don't stop to kill the baby when you're almost all the way, when the baby's almost all the way out. There's no medical reason to kill that baby." And both of them just utterly ignored these parents. And so what the reason Brian and Lisa brought it up, and this was just days after their son was murdered, was because if you have a culture of death where millions of women have been taught it's okay to kill your baby, then of course they're going to raise kids who are murderers because it's in their blood, it's in their family, it's in their culture. So to us, it's extremely relevant. There's hardly a better place than Columbine to say stop killing kids.
worded like that, it sort of has that insinuation that Columbine just spawns murder and heinous atrocities.
Right.
I mean, what needs to be addressed, the 2,000 kids that go to Columbine, I mean, it's a good group of kids for the most part. Not perfect. Nobody, I mean, I'm not going
to
try and
I went to a public high school, and you've got the gamut of kids from strong Christians to atheists to hard workers to total losers, drug addicts, guys taking advantage of girls, girls who are moral, girls who are tramps. So you got it all.
Absolutely.
But Columbine happened. It was almost a random shot that it would be Columbine because we have a godless education system, and kids are taught that there's no such thing as right or wrong. There's a fascination with death and rebellion, and Christian values are mocked in the curriculum and in our culture, and that's everywhere in the whole country. So when things like this happen, we don't say we're shocked because we're teaching our kids they're just animals. Right? Harrison Klebold, remember Harris had the shirt on, said natural selection? Do you remember that? And the autopsy that came out?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, you know, Charles Darwin, natural selection.
Right.
And they were big advocates of evolution. The videos they made in their basement, we've heard all about them because the parents got to see them. And in the videos, they praised the Romans for killing Jesus Christ. And they loved evolution. And the stronger organism could kill the weaker. That's evolution. They were godless. And a lot of those things are in the curriculum of the whole public school system. So pointing out the failures of the system at the place where it failed, it'd be like going to a concentration camp in the 1940s in Europe and protesting there. Say, hey, this is broken. This is wrong. Is that...
Well, my whole problem with it is I did know a couple of the kids who died up there. And it's not – and, you know, I never once ever say anything about, you know, we should forgive Eric or Dylan or anything like that because we couldn't. I will never, ever do it.
Right. Jesus said if they repent, forgive them in Luke 17:3. They didn't repent.
Exactly. Right. But my problem is if I were to sit down and start talking to one of these guys, I'm not going to have a very high opinion of them if they're going to shove a poster in my face that says Dylan and Klebold were killers too. Mm. In my eyes, that's tactless.
It's offensive.
Exactly. That's just showing that we don't have any respect for this school. Because, yes, there was a lot of debt that spawned at this school and all that good stuff. But that school has gone through so much in the past 4 years.
And the fact
that this school was able to get over it, get on with their lives, and try to go back to a normal high school, which is something that's virtually impossible because everybody knows the name Columbine High School.
Right.
I didn't think it was right at all.
We could get back to that, and I want to talk about what life at Columbine is like. But Greg, you wanted to add something?
I just wanted to say I kind of noticed a correlation. Obviously, I think what the pro-life people are trying to do is ruffle some feathers, shock people maybe because they want to get their point across. But by the same token, referring back to those videos that Harrison Klebold made, what they were doing was their entire motive was to shock and to ruffle feathers. And so I guess is, where do you draw the line? Where do you stop justifying that type of shock? And where does it become tactless?
Greg, this is now the third time you've done this on the show. I'm keeping track.
I know.
You're comparing, you know, murdering for shock versus showing signs of the truth. You know, killing people in the South versus showing signs of people being killed. Or do you have the right to speak if I'm offended?
I guess I'm just drawing back to Andre in that, you know, there's a line where you cross that line of tact.
Okay.
In that motive.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you a question. Tact and being polite, civil, those things, we value those. And if I didn't know how to exercise those, I wouldn't have a beautiful wife and a nice home for my kids to grow up in, probably. But if you're in war or if it's Nazi Germany and the Jews are being slaughtered and people don't care, At that point, tact is not quite as important. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I don't know. Because by abandoning tact, then you almost seem to be sinking to a lower level.
No,
you're saying that.
No, because tact is not an absolute moral value. When if somebody breaks into your home to hurt one of your loved ones, you don't have any obligation to use tact. And if somebody starts, you know, if some gang is doing drive-bys or women are being raped on a college campus or blacks are being mocked or being beat up or lynched, that doesn't require tact at that moment. And if you're talking about something theoretical that's not going on right then and people are listening and they are concerned and they do want to stop the injustice, then you have tact. But if people couldn't give a rip that babies are being killed every day in Denver, I'd say tact is dispensable.
I see. I tend to see the lack of tact as merely inflaming the situation more. If someone is already displeased with me and then I just
– all right,
or with my actions and then I act mm-hmm. in an – I respond in an inflammatory manner, I mean you just you have two – things right. completely clashing, and it doesn't seem to be striving towards a solution.
Okay, all three of you guys said you're pro-life. Let me ask you, let me put you on the spot, and I have no idea what you'll say. What have you done? I'll ask each of you to respond. What have you done to try to stop babies from being killed?
Well, I can't say that I have done anything as far as like protesting or stuff, but I do. If the topic does come up within friends, I do try okay. and tell them about. You know,
that is good. That is good. Having an influence in your sphere, that's good. Okay.
Well, for me, it's the same way. I would hope. I try to make it pretty clear, but I would hope that any of my friends who do get into that situation know that they're. Anything is better than the choice of abortion, and therefore, I mean, even if it means. I take the child, whatever it is. It doesn't right. matter. Whatever I'm willing to support in anything necessary right. to keep that baby alive.
Okay. And Greg?
I tend to agree. Just inform them logically what the true consequences of that are, what the repercussions of that are, and dialogue, discussion, just
okay.
make those facts known as much as I can.
So talking to your friends within your sphere. But none of you guys have ever, like, gone to 20th and Vine in Denver where Planned Parenthood kills about 30 kids every week for about $350 a kid, right? And wouldn't you say that's common in your throughout your generation, throughout my generation, too? Even the people who are pro-life generally don't do anything about it unless it comes up right in their face and they say, oh, I'm against that. But if you've got Jews being killed or blacks being enslaved, and the only thing the people who know it's wrong, they don't do anything about it. They just say, well, I wouldn't do it, or in their own sphere, very gentle and quiet, then Jews would still be killed and blacks would still be slaves. My impossible dream to get through my list is obviously never going to be fulfilled. But I'm going to tell you the videos we've got from the ones I didn't mention in the last break. Now, I did mention Infanticide Exposed. That was in the first break. Man, what an article that is in the New York Times. I read the whole article, and you can order that at 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Then we have Defending the Faith. Apologetics with Dave Spiegel, and Planets, the Stars, and the Bible. What does the Bible say about the planets and the stars? You know, it's so interesting that the ancient cultures, so many of them worshiped the sun and the moon, and the Bible said, don't worship them, they're lights. That's pretty good, at least from a scientific perspective. Isn't that something? Most of the ancient world was worshiping the sun and the moon, and Moses wrote, don't worship them, they're lights. I like that. It's right on. In fact, I was debating one of the writers for Scientific American on this show. What was the guy's name? Michael Shermer? a writer for Scientific American on this show, and I quoted the Bible to him. I said, well, Mr. Shermer, can't you at least give the Bible credit? When the ancient world was worshiping the sun and the moon, the Bible said, don't worship them, they're lights. And his response, and he writes for Scientific American, he said, the sun is not a light. And I said, come on now. Can I write this down? Michael Shermer, June 17th, 2001. The sun is not a light. That's how resistant he was to be objective about the slightest observation out of the Bible. So we've got that video, Planet Stars in the Bible, and it's fun. It's a fun video. And then The Real Mount Sinai by archaeologist and explorer Bob Kornjuki. You might enjoy that. The Trouble with Lawyers. We've had a number of lawyers call into the show. We subtitled it Bob versus the Publicans, the Publicans. And environmentalists lose a 10-year bet. Now, that video is funny. A conservative economist bet an environmentalist, Paul Ehrlich, the guy who wrote The Population Bomb. He said, I'll bet you in 10 years, natural resources will be more plentiful and less expensive. And they took the bet, and the environmentalist lost. All right, Bob and Yurt Live, we've got three seniors from Columbine High School. Guys, why don't we change channels here? Because we only have one segment left, and the big story right now is the war. What's going on in Iraq? I'd like to hear what you guys think, what's being said in the school.
Well, I'll start off with a school perspective.
All right,
many of the people in the school that we go to tend to be very hesitant about the war, tend to question the motives, tend to question the issues there. My personal belief is that Iraq itself has been given enough chances, and I would like to do everything I can to remain alive myself and keep the country alive. And so if Iraq is violating the 165-kilometer ballistic missile, anything greater than that, which Iraq has already agreed to, the United States is more than willing and more than in the right to do something about that and get Iraq back to where it's already agreed to be.
All right. That was Andy. And anyone else?
I guess just to kind of add on to that, there are some if they violated. I guess the only thing that really holds anything back as far as the United States is concerned is just proving, showing hard proof that they have in fact violated whatever contracts, which I don't have sufficient knowledge to really know.
But the agreements that Saddam said he'd get rid of all his anthrax.
Right, but if those have been violated, I have to wholeheartedly
support them. I don't know if you saw Colin Powell's address to the United Nations. He gave some pretty solid evidence, pictures, satellite photos, exactly of what it is that's going on. So
that's what I heard. So, I would have to support it.
All right. And anything else? Anybody want to add to that? I could I'll give you a couple other reasons. 23 million Iraqis have been imprisoned for 30 years now. No freedom of speech, no freedom of travel. And, you know, when you grow up in a prison, it's just devastating. And so out of love for the Iraqi people, we should liberate them if we can. Saddam Hussein publicly brags that he gives over $20,000 for every successful terrorist bombing in Israel. Every Palestinian bombing, Saddam rewards it with $20,000. So that's direct support for terrorism. And he tried to kill the 41st president of the United States back in 1993, was it, in Kuwait. And he fires on our planes constantly, and he's violated the ceasefire. And my wife calls him a homicidal maniac.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's murdered thousands of Iraqi people. So so I'd say it's a really good idea to kill him, destroy his government, and give freedom to 23 million people.
Yeah, we know that through the embargo that was placed upon Iraq, that Saddam Hussein has taken that out on the people. The money that the Iraqi government does have is taken, and the people live in the region where they have no support
poverty
from the government.
Right.
No,
and Iraq should be the wealthiest country
and it could be
in the Middle East. And it could be. And it once was. Baghdad was like the Paris of the Middle East. But speaking of Paris, you know, the French, they're
oh my.
Right. Going to war without the French is like going hunting without an accordion.
Yeah.
The French, you know, they say we don't care about innocent people and all. They've gotten $3 billion from Saddam Hussein in the past few years, and they've got $40 billion in oil contracts from Saddam. And their firms have been doing business with Saddam, and as late as January, they've sold him parts for his fighter jets, which is in violation of the sanctions. So the French, they look like the good guys because they're for peace. They don't care that 23 million Iraqis are living as slaves and are murdered, and those who are arrested are tortured. They don't care because they're getting paid well for their support of a tyrant. So the French are wrong.
Oh, totally. I would not agree with you more on that fact.
All right. And Andre, that sounds like a French name, sir.
Yeah, I am French.
All right. I shouldn't have said the accordion thing.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm mostly Italian and German and Dutch. So for the most part, I was on the wrong side of World War II. But that was a long time ago. So anyway, okay. Well, I am glad to hear that. You know, you guys are pro-life, and you understand that it's right to go against a tyrant, murderer, dictator, and to liberate people and to try to fight terrorism. So really, I think on probably a lot of issues, we're in very, you know, hold very similar positions. I would guess, having just met you guys 1 hour ago. That's my take on it.
Yeah, definitely.
So the real disagreement has been strategy and tactics. Let me ask you this. Three of the guys who were there that day are in the studio audience right now. And those guys, they go to Planned Parenthood on Saturdays, been going on and off for years. And 2 weeks ago, five babies were scheduled to be killed at Planned Parenthood. And they were saved. Five babies. The mothers decided not to kill their babies because those wackos and their friends are standing with huge signs saying, don't kill your baby.
Oh, I definitely think abortion clinics are a great place for that.
Oh.
Oh, 100%. What they did outside of our school would have been perfect. And I've actually said in conversation that would have been a great place
to
have.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am glad to hear that. So we're really getting into a very fine criticism here. Those signs at this location.
Oh, yes.
But when we respond that the girls at Columbine, I mean, you could do the numbers just based on percentages. A lot of girls at Columbine get abortions.
But and I'm not saying that it's not a viable issue at Columbine.
Right.
What I am saying is that those people were standing on the corner at Columbine, and I think it would have been more effective and it would have been more strategic on their part for their goals and their means to take their signs and go to the abortion clinic that didn't have protesters there. Mm. I think it is if there were enough people to spread around everywhere, I think it wouldn't be such a big deal. It's just that having them at Columbine almost took them away from an abortion clinic.
Right. But, you know, you always hear get to the root of the problem. And the main root of the problem is with the U.S. Supreme Court, mostly Republican judges, and the laws in Congress. It's okay to kill babies. That's the real root. And the second is the young women who are willing to kill their babies. So it's like going to, you know, the source. That's the goal. If earlier I think I asked the question, I don't know if I got a straight answer. If somebody was doing something like that at Auschwitz in World War II with the Nazis at a concentration camp, you're saying, well, it's fine at the abortion mill. It's just inappropriate at the school. But at a high school, kids are older, right? They're like young adults. Do you think if we had 13-year-old freshmen here tonight, would they appreciate you saying they're too young to see this? They would. They'd get ticked off, right?
Yeah,
and they watch MTV, which has got to be worse than anything these guys showed, and just cable generally. What percentage of kids watch cable TV? I don't know.
I don't think that's necessarily what we're really getting at. Is the fact that if I'm trying to see somebody on my point and I'm talking to them about it, I'm not going to do any good to make them mad and make them not like me at that fact. So and from a lot of the people I talked to, including the 13-year-old freshman and stuff like that, they were more infuriated at the fact that –
Yeah, they were offended. But Andre, you're going back to the point I made earlier. That was a typical response that Jesus got. Jesus drove people insane with anger, and so did Stephen. He was killed in the book of Acts in the New Testament. He was so offensive, they killed him. And Jesus was standing at the right hand to receive Stephen up into heaven. And when they wanted to kill Jesus and they killed the prophets because what they said was so offensive, it's unavoidably offensive to tell the truth. So that's not a good argument saying you shouldn't do this because people got really mad.
I also think it's kind of like comparing apples and oranges, and the fact that Christ was engaging more in dialogue and
They didn't have cameras back then,
right? But his point seemed to be more logical, more dialectic. Whereas these are once again going. There's no true logic for
me behind
the picture.
I'll give you a logic. I'll give you a dialectic. I mean, John the Baptist, king Herod, was committing adultery with his brother's wife. Right, sort of like a Bill Clinton story 2,000 years ago. And John the Baptist was saying that the king is committing adultery. And so the king was offended, and he arrested John the Baptist, and he killed him. That's sort of a typical Bible story. The people who are saying the truth don't commit adultery, don't be perverse, don't murder kids, don't steal. They're the ones that get everybody mad. And the people who don't say anything unless it comes up in conversation, they don't cause too many waves. Like if you would have used your approach 2,000 years ago, you would not have gotten your head cut off. So there's some merit in that. I agree. But those guys out there, they would have probably gotten their heads cut off. So is it really worth, if you yourselves hadn't been fighting to stop child killing, is it really worth criticizing people who are, even if they're too stupid to know that they're not being as effective as they could? Is that really... Because, by the way, we hear this all the time. For 15 years, we've heard this. Just so you know.
I don't know. I just have to be somewhat critical when there's – I think there's a better way of doing it.
A better way to do it. Okay, Greg, I want to challenge you. Find the better way.
And that's what I mean. If they could actually engage me in conversation and explain to me truly explain to me the consequences instead of just pushing a board into my face with a picture on it. I tend to respect them a lot more, I think.
All right.
Yeah, I will say that we don't do anything active, and I think it is very helpful for those who are active in what is believed in. One of the quotes from one of my favorite movies is, "We must all fear evil men, but there is another kind of evil we must fear most, and that is the indifference of good men."
Ooh.
That
sent a chill down my spine.
Yeah,
right.
I just think that's exactly right. Right.
I just think if there you have two conflicting issues, if you approach somebody with respect and look, I respect you as a human being, but I'd like to make something known to you. I think they'll be a lot more receptive to it than something forceful, and that's where my disagreement.
Some will just disagree out of pride if they feel they're being disrespected.
Right, that's true.
I think that's what,
right. I mean,
all right. Hey, we're also going to offer you guys a pamphlet we've got called "Nicer Than God," and it goes through the Bible and shows how offensive Jesus was quite frequently, intentionally offensive. Because people couldn't care less, and he was trying to shake up some of them. And he succeeded, but they killed him too. So I think it's unavoidably offensive to tell the truth. That's what I think, but I agree with you guys that you got to be wise and use good strategy, good tactics. Hey, thank you all very much. Greg, thank you. Andy, thank you. Andre, it was a pleasure. And maybe we could chat a little after the show. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.